How often do you join with others for worship? Do you think that it's important for God's people to join together in worship? And if you do, then what are those reasons why you think it's important? Now, maybe you were somebody who said, well, you know, I don't think it's that important. Well, why is it that you don't think that it's important? Yeah, I want us to take a look at that today. You know, as we've come through the pandemic and, you know, there were so many things that took place in regard to churches that were not able to worship together or folks who were afraid to do so. It's been really tough to see a lot of people come back. You know, statistically, they say about 60% of folks have returned to church following the pandemic. Well, my question is, where are the other 40%? Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm watching it from home, and maybe that's you today. I'm grateful for the fact that God has given us the technology and the opportunities by which to be able to bring forth a venue to be able to do a Bible study or a worship service. But folks, let me tell you, if you're not taking that time and opportunity to come together in worship, you're missing out. You really, really are. It's not all about what you can get, but it's about what you can give. So today we're actually going to be looking at some passages that come out of Nehemiah chapter 8 called Worshiping the Great God. Grab your Bible, come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you're joining us this evening. As you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the Old Testament passage of Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to be looking at 12 verses in Nehemiah chapter 8 today. And as I led off our Bible study, I ask you, you know, how often you actually joined together with others in worship and having that time to just spend with not only the master, but other people coming together to do so. And then I ask you how important you believe that was. Now, you know, I could make a complete different message out of this. There are so many things in life today that have taken priority over church. It's not like it was when I was younger 30 years ago, and so many times people will say, well, that's it, we're in a completely different generation. Well, folks, let me make a quick reminder that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I still believe that's part of the reason our world's in the shape that it's in, is that we're getting away from God, and we need to get back to Him. It is important to come together. And I realize that you don't have to be a church member to be saved. You don't have to be a church member to go to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, man, what a tremendous opportunity you're missing out on if you're not joining others in worship at the house of the Lord. Now, if you are, one of the big points that people often like to bring out is, you know, the people. Well, there's hypocrites in there. Well, there's hypocrites everywhere you go, but you don't quit going those other places. So, that's true. But I sat back, considered the hospital. Yeah, I was in the hospital recently. I was in the emergency room for a long time. And, you know, as I looked around there, I thought, you know what, there's a bunch of sick people in here. You know, there's a bunch of people waiting to see doctors. And folks, that's what the church ought to be. The church ought to be the hospital. It ought to be the emergency room. When you look around a worship center, you shouldn't be looking for perfect people. What you should see are the people that are imperfect. The Word of God tells us we are simply sinners saved by grace. We don't have a right to sit back and look and judge others. Man, you know what? When you look at it, it's kind of good to see people in the emergency rooms. That means they care enough about their life to do something about it, to try to get well, to feel better again. You know, when you consider church, what a great opportunity to worship together. Now, let's just take church completely out of it. Let's use the word worship, the time when we come together to specifically focus on the Word of God. Let's look at our passages today that come out of Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're actually going to begin reading with verse 1. That's Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're actually going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, and you're going to have to bear with me, there are a bunch of names in this one, and I get tongue-tied every time I try to say them, so just bear with me as we go forward. But Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, it says, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebah, Jamin, Akub, Sabitha, Hodijah, Messiah, Kilite, Arizah, Joabad, Hannah, Pelah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy, and the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they had heard the words of the law." Verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send a portion and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to worship you. Lord, we can worship you in so many ways. Lord, through your word, through prayer. But Lord, we thank you for that opportunity that you give us to come together, to lift up our voices in song before you and to gather around your word that you might give us understanding. So Lord, today I pray that you would do just that as we endeavor a look at your word. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you might convict us where we are, Lord, about what our worship is like before you, what our attendance is like in being present. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you will do what only you can do in our hearts and lives. I pray, Father, for these moments that you would be with this, your messenger, that you would truly be high and lifted up as only you can. Bless our time together in your word, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Now, in our story today, Nehemiah had led the Jewish people to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and afterward, they gathered for worship. You know, they had seen this great victory. If you remember last week, we were talking about, you know, them getting prepared to do that. He saw what the condition of the wall was in, and what had happened was the Lord had led him to lead the people to rebuild that wall, so there was a great victory that was at hand. So what did they do? They gathered for worship. Now, a lot of people would sit back today and say, "Well, it doesn't sound like a great victory party to me." Well, you have to remember, you know, God was a part of their life. These are folks who had trusted God to get them through the captivity, that had trusted God when things were bad, and now things were starting to kind of turn a little bit, at least in their way. And the rebuilding of the wall was by the hand of God. And so what they wanted to do was gather together to worship him. Now, let me ask you this question. When you have victories in your life, do you turn to worship? Do you worship and thank the Lord for the great and wonderful things that he's done in your life? Now, as we look at these particular passages, you know, we know that they had got the wall rebuilt. They're gathering to worship. Now, think about where it was that they gathered to worship. Now, let's go back and look at verse 1 for just a minute because it's got a lot of information in it. It said, "Now the people gathered together as one man." Now, pay careful attention to that. "As one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate." So that's the where. Now you notice one thing that they didn't have. They didn't have a building. They didn't have the nicest of facilities. It wasn't air conditioned. It wasn't shaded. It wasn't heated, whatever the season may have been at the time. There weren't nice, plush, comfortable chairs there to accommodate their every need. It says that what they did was they met. And now, like I said, it's very important that you understand the very beginning of that verse. Let's go back to it again. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate." So what does that mean? As one man. That is a critical verse. When it talks about they met as one man, it meant that they were all like-minded. They had shown up that day to praise and to give worship to the Lord. It wasn't about, well, who's standing in my spot? Who's sitting in my seat? It wasn't about, well, can somebody move? Somebody, you know, somebody's got me in the sun and I need a piece of shade. It wasn't about, I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy. I don't like that woman. I don't like that that other woman. I don't like these kids running around. It wasn't all the griping and complaining. They had gathered together to celebrate a victory and to worship the Lord as only they could. So, you know, that's critical today. Even as we go forward, even in our churches, have we come together to worship as one man? Yeah, coming together to put aside anything that would hinder us from being able to worship the great God that we know, the great God who has saved us from our sins by giving us His only begotten Son. Or do we come back in some sense or some way to find ourselves in a critical condition? You know, now as they began to worship, Ezra the priest did something before them, before the assembly of men and women. Now let's go to verse 2 and look at what verse 2 tells us about that. It says, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now let me read that again because I got all tongue-tied. It says, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now, verse 3 goes on and tells us, says, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and all the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So we know at this particular point what he did was he brought out the law. You have to understand, this is Old Testament day. This wasn't at the time of Christ. This was before Christ. They had essentially the law, the Mosaic law. In other words, these are the things that the Lord has said that you must do and how you must live. So this is the book that Ezra brought out and read before the men and the women. And it says he read from morning till about noonday. Now, if you've ever been in my church and you think that I am a long-winded pastor, how would you like to come from sun up till about noon and then have your break for lunch? I'm just picking at you on that one, but nonetheless, it says that in that verse, it says that from that amount of time, the men and the women who were there and who were present were attentive. They were listening to the Word of God. That was what was being read. It's almost like if you went back and read like the Old Testament laws, that was what was being read before the people. And something interesting took place. Yeah, think about that. Think about the book of the law. It was a central part of worship because it was essentially the Bible that they had back in that day. They didn't have what you and I have. They were still anticipating a Savior to come that hadn't taken place yet. Now, when we think about some of the logistics, we talked about the fact that this was out in the open. It was in front of a gate. Ezra was standing as he read the book, and it was something really interesting that you see in verses 4 and 5. Look with me if you would. It says, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at the right hand stood, and here's another list of those names that are pretty tough, but let me just halt right there with the names for just a moment, because what I'm wanting you to understand is they had built a platform for Ezra to stand on, which elevated him so that he would have the opportunity to be able to get his voice out, for people to be able to have the opportunity to see him and to even hear him better. So there's where you get your pulpit, and that's where you get your elevated stance. That goes all the way back to the days of the Old Testament. Now, it was something very interesting that took place when we also look at verse 5 in our text. Think about this. The people did something. See if you notice it as I read verse 5. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, standing on that platform. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Maybe you've been in a church somewhere before in your life where the pastor, as he went to his scripture text, he said, he gave what the text was, and he said, would you all stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word? And people did that as an act of worship. They stood up to hear God's word, and that was done as an act of worship as they were doing that. Now, like I say, take note of that. That's in verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 8, that when the Bible came out, when Ezra began to start to read it, all of the people stood up as a way of reverencing and honoring the word of God. Now, you have to understand that this was before they became filled with tears. We're going to see that in just a moment. So they were honoring the word of God, even as they had kind of come into the association of brothers and sisters and was going to hear the word of God. It's kind of like those times that in your life, and I hope and pray that you've had them, that you showed up for maybe a church service and you thought, well, it's just another day, I'm going to do my thing. And then something incredible happened. The Holy Spirit got your attention. The Holy Spirit reached out and touched you. The Holy Spirit began to speak to your heart in a way that moved you. And I love what a dear old saint that has gone on to be with the Lord in my first church that I ever served in. I love what he said one time. He said, he was a country gentleman. He said, sometimes God has a way of reaching down and squeezing your heart until the water comes out of your eyes. Have you ever had those things happen to you? Yeah, I think this is what was happening with the people as they gathered in the midst and Ezra began to read the book of the law, because I could just picture it as they all stood up and he began to read. It was just like any other time that they had come together. But there's something else before I get to what their reaction to the word was. There's something I want you to also understand, that the time when they came together, the time when they were together to worship, the people were active participants. They were participating in worship. See, folks, worship is required, or it's designed for you to participate in. It is not designed for you to be a spectator. It is designed for you to be a participator. And I'm not talking about simply going through the motions. I am talking about being there not only in body, but in soul and in spirit, to be there in the worship, to put yourself into it, to walk in to the house of the Lord with expectations. Lord, I am coming in today and I have an expectation that I am going to hear from you, from the word of God today. Lord, I'm not going to settle for anything less. I'm going to be attentive to what it is that you're going to speak into my heart and into my life. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to give me courage to react upon it. So folks, as it was in that day, worship was participatory. The same is true today. When you go to worship, when you go to church, participate. You know, don't just pick the songbook up and sing the hymn because you know it. Pick that thing up and say, Lord, I want this to be a prayer, or from my heart to yours. May it come from your heart and not just simply from your lips. As you pray from your heart, not just in speech that's going to impress everybody that's around you. Make it a true act of worship, because I will make you this promise. When you do that, you will meet God there, and God will speak into your heart. He will speak to you, and he will cause some action and reaction to happen in your life. Now, I'm going to get to what happened with the people here in just a moment. What happens to you may be completely different. You know, there are different ways that people respond, and there are different ways in which people, you know, essentially participate in worship. Let me carry you over to verse 6 of our text. It says this. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then the people answered, amen, amen. And so what you've seen is that the people, at the reading of God's word, they participated by standing up. Then as the word was being read, notice verse 6 again, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces faces to the ground. Can you imagine what that scene was like, what that meeting must have been like? I'll tell you what it would have been like. It would have scared a Southern Baptist to death. We'd have thought we had walked in to some charismatic type church or something like that, because Lord have mercy, somebody said amen out loud. Do we do that around here? By the way, if you really want to preach your preacher to death and preach him into a heart attack, say amen every now and then, but not just arbitrary. Make sure it means something in your heart when you do that. Yet lifting up holy hands toward the Father, bowed before him, the people were participating in the worship. You know, I think sometimes when we come together to worship today, we're afraid to do that. We're afraid of what others may look around us and think, and therefore we don't do it. We just sit there solemn, like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here quietly until we're dismissed and lunchtime comes around. Folks, that is not worship. That might be attending the house of the Lord, but that is not worship. And folks, let me tell you this. Worship is up to you. Worship is a personal thing between you and God Almighty Himself. You know, everything in the world could be going on around you. You will choose to worship in the times that you have that opportunity to gather together with Him. My question is, what are you choosing? Are you choosing to participate in the manner that those in this Old Testament passage participated when Ezra began to read the word of the Lord? Was there true praise and worship coming from them? Yes, it was. Is there true praise and worship coming from your heart when you get together? How do you participate in your worship services? Now, not a people, and I'm not asking you if you're an usher. I'm not asking you if you've said the offertory prayer. I'm not asking you if you've necessarily sung the special. I'm asking you how you participate when you are sitting there in that pew. How are you a part of that service? And if you're not, then I want to encourage you to do that this coming Sunday. Boy, what a great Sunday, man. You know, our Christmas Sunday is coming up this Sunday. What a time to learn to participate in worship. Now, when we look at the worshipers in Nehemiah, I've always told you that as we do our Bible studies, one of the things that we need to look for are some examples to follow. Well, here are some examples to follow when it comes down to worshiping. You know, participate in your worship services as you're there. Listen, if you're not, then why even go? If you're not going to participate, if it's not going to mean anything to you, then really, why should you go? You know, some people are just going to please mama or to please a wife or a husband or a child or whatever. I will make you a promise that if you participate and when you begin to hear God, it will change your life forever, and that will be in a good way. You know, here are some examples to follow. Participate in worship. It is important not only to read God's word, but also to give a sense of it. And I'm going to say that in quotes. Why? What does that mean? That means to give understanding. Let's go back over to verses 7 and 8 of our text. You have this long list of names, again, that are hard for me to pronounce. And notice what it says. It gives this list of names of who was there, but look at what they did. Latter part of verse 7 says this: to help the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. In other words, that could have been in our modern day translation, looking at it and trying to apply it to what it's like today. That list of names that all of us have trouble saying essentially would be your Sunday school teachers, your Bible study leaders, your small group leaders, designed people that God has called out to help give understanding to the people, to interpret what's going on, to be the pastor. You see, is that not what I'm doing today? I am trying to help you to understand what's going on in the Word of God, that you might have an understanding of what is taking place. I hope and pray that in your life and in your attendance and as you worship, that there have been those times when you've been like, well, you know what, I've really kind of had trouble understanding this area, and then all of a sudden it's the aha moment, or the light bulb comes on and you're like, oh yeah. Or maybe you've asked your pastor or your Sunday school teacher and you said, you know, I'm really having a little trouble understanding this. What does that mean? And then having that opportunity to hear other brothers and sisters in Christ give a sense of what the word is and what's going on, so that you might understand it in those moments. And then you're like, ah, I get it now. Now I understand what's going on. You see, that's why it's so important for us to be able to come together. We can learn from each other. One of the things I love dearly and look forward to every week is a group of men that I get together with on Sunday afternoons. And man, we just talk about, what we do is we get together and we talk about the scripture readings that we've read for that week. And we learn from one another and we gain understanding of the Word of God from one another. Man, that is, it's a joy when you have that opportunity to do that. And I want to encourage you, find some of those groups. Listen, if you're having trouble, contact us. We will help you find a way to be able to get into some of those small groups and be able to glean understanding from those who have an understanding. Maybe somebody who has gone through a circumstance or a situation that scripture really stood out and became real in their life, and they share that with you. Now, with that being said, here's something else I want you to understand. Worship, church, is not simply all about what you can take in, but also about what you can give. Because you know what? You may be the person that's asking the question and saying, I don't understand this. Help me. You know, I pray that there's coming a time when you're going to sit back and say, you know, oh, I understand that. Let me tell you what's going on right here so that you're helping somebody else. That's what participating in worship is really all about. You know, why do you think all the people wept as they heard the words of the law? Now let's go to verse 9, because verse 9 tells us that that's exactly what happened. It says in verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God, and do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Why were they weeping? You know what? I call it conviction. Now, how many times have you gotten into the Word of God and then all of a sudden the Lord, like my old brother, the old saint brother of mine said, God reached down and got your heart and he squeezed it so hard that tears came out of your eyes. When you begin to see yourself through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, when you begin to truly understand that even your righteousness is as filthy rags before the Master, it breaks your heart. And when it breaks your heart, it will bring you to tears. And you know what? You've been that way before. You have been guilty. It has put tears in down your cheeks. And you have cried out to God. And you have mourned the sin that's in your life. You have mourned what the Holy Spirit has pointed out. And yet at the end of that, what is it that we see? It says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they had heard the word of the law. No, he said in verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many times have we used that particular passage? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm going to highlight something about that in just a minute, but Nehemiah was essentially exhorting the people to not be grieved because the joy of the Lord was their strength. So what is the joy of the Lord? Think about that for a moment. If I were to ask you and say, what is the joy of the Lord? How would you answer that question? You know, because we're real good at sitting back, quoting scripture and saying, the joy of the Lord is our strength. What does that mean? What is the joy of the Lord? How is it that you view that? What does that mean to you when people say that? Now, some people sit back and say, well, you know, I think it means this, or I think it means that, or I think it means something else. Well, the joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That, my friend, is the joy of the Lord. Now, let me give that to you again. The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what we said. Those three things could break down into a great message. You know, knowing God, Do you know him? Abiding in Christ. If you do know him, are you abiding in Christ? Does that mean, are you attached? Remember what he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, you know, he takes care of and he looks after. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you? So when we talk about the joy of the Lord, that's what it means. That's how you define it. The gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, so now does that make a new sense to you when we sit back and say, the joy of the Lord is our strength? I hope and pray that makes a ton of difference to you, and that it gives you more understanding as we will use that term. We've used that term in the past, and we will continue to use that term as we go forward. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, isn't that wonderful? You know, so yeah, at the end of the worship service, you notice what it says in that verses 11 and 12. It says that the people went on their way rejoicing. Verses 11 and 12 say this. It says, so the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly. Did you get that? To rejoice. Why can you rejoice? If the guilt has been put on your heart, when there is confession before the Father, when there is repentance before the Father, there is forgiveness and there is joy. The abiding in Him, the knowing Him, the loving Him, the abiding in Him, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you repent and you give those things before the Lord, then you can go away and you can rejoice. How can I say that? Because the Word of God tells us so. We have that opportunity. You know, when you join others for worship, do you come to participate or do you come to evaluate? Consider that for just a moment. Remember what I asked you, do you come to worship? Listen, when you show up in church this coming Sunday morning, are you coming to participate or are you coming to evaluate? Are you going to stand and sing from your heart? Are you going to let the joy of the Lord fill your soul? Or are you going to sit back and go, well, I don't like that song. I wish they would have picked something else. I don't like the way this is being done. See, if you're going to come do that, you're coming to evaluate. But if you're coming to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and to fill you, that you might walk away truly expressing the joy of the Lord, then you have come to worship. I pray that you will come and worship Sunday morning with us. If you're not from around here, I pray that you will worship with a good Bible-believing church and like-minded believers somewhere. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord on the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, December the 25th. Be there. Be there to worship. Be there to participate. You know, do you come to give or do you come to receive? I mentioned a moment ago that, yes, we can get so much. We can come and we can receive during the worship service and we can learn from the Word. But you know what? There's somebody in that worship assembly that needs to hear your story, that needs to hear what you know, that might be at a different spiritual degree or different spiritual level of maturity than you are, that needs to hear your story. Are you keeping that from them? So it's not just about what you can receive. It's also about what you can give. In what ways do you give, and in what ways do you participate when it comes down to every worship service that you attend? Because that is true for each and every one. What are the things that you are doing to give? And I'm not just talking about financially. That's one way. I'm not just talking about when the offering comes around. But what are you doing to give and to participate in worship services where you attend? You know, from our study today, you know, how might you worship differently this coming Sunday? How might you worship differently in and of your itself in your own prayer closet this week, even before you come into a corporate worship service? You know, what are the things that the Spirit is prompting you to do even as we go through His Word right here, right now? Maybe you've learned something today, which is exactly what the people were doing as they gathered together at the assembly. What is God putting in your heart and just maybe squeezing it till the tears come out of your eyes that you might need to do as you continue to go forward. Today we need to pray for each of us to become more passionate worshipers. Now when I say that, you know, we understand what passion is. Passion is something that drives us to action. So today we need to pray for each and every one of us to become more passionate worshipers as we gather together in the house of the Lord, or as we gather together in small groups of two or three to worship our Lord. Now, we're going to pray that prayer here in just a moment, but I'll also let you know what our Bible readings for this week will be. This week's Bible readings will be Esther chapter 1 through Esther chapter 5. That's Esther chapter 1 through Esther chapter 5. And next week, we will look at Queen Esther's faith and courage out of the book of Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. And I just pray that each and every one of you will have a wonderful week, that you will learn, if you don't know, that you will learn to give and to participate as well as receive in your worship services. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful for the opportunity that you have given us. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunities that you give us to gather together to worship you corporately. Father, I pray that after reading your word today, that we will have a new sense in being participators in ways that we never have before as we come together to worship. Lord, just move in our hearts as only you can. And Lord, may you watch over us and bring us into the house of the Lord to worship together this coming Sunday morning, as we ask this in Jesus' precious name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. Hey folks, listen, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas from all of our staff, our pastoral staff, our support staff, our musical staff. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. And we also want to invite you, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area on Christmas Eve, we will have two separate times that we call Christmas Eve communion. Now, this is not something that's going to take a lot of your time. It's designed for us to pause on Christmas Eve to remember why we truly celebrate the Christmas season. It is a simple communion service. We will come together for communion. There won't be a message that will be preached with it. I know that you may have family members from out of town that come in and say, well, we didn't bring church clothes and all. That's okay. It's a come as you are, and it'll only take about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, we've got two different times for that. I believe that we have it for 6:30 and 7 o'clock. So if 6 and 6:30. I got it right. Okay. Appreciate our support staff in the back. 6 o'clock p.m. on Christmas Eve. Only take about 10 minutes. Bring your family. Come on by. For us to pause and remember why we celebrate Christmas. If you come at 6, you'll probably be out by 6:15. Then we have another one at 6:30. So if you come at 6:30, you'll probably be out by about 6:45 and on and about your way. We would love to have you come. Whether you're a member of our church or not, if you're part of the family of God, we encourage you to come and celebrate Christmas Eve communion with us. And then also we want to remind you that we will have our Christmas Day Sunday worship service at 10:45 a.m. We will not be having Sunday school that morning, but we will have our Christmas Sunday morning message at 10:45 in the sanctuary of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Folks, I love you. I pray you have a Merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you.